Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Welcome in. More hearings. Pam Bondi will give you the highlights of that. Marco Rubio will play some of that also. Not as contentious, certainly, as yesterday with Pete Hegseth. But the big news today at the 11th hour, the waning days of the Biden regime, is that the FDA, the U.S. FDA, has now banned red food dye over possible cancer risk. They are revoking the authorized uses in food and ingested drugs of FD&C red number 3 in the color additive regulations, says a document from the Department of Health and Human Services. The decision follows a petition filed by the Center for Science in the Public Interest November 2022. Why today? Is this something related to RFK Jr.? Is this some kind of mechanism to try to take some steam out of what he might say in order to say, yeah, we took care of that. Now let's attack you on vaccine. I'm not sure, but it's curious in the waning days that they did it. And I have no problem with that. I'm searching this because it just came down in the Federal Register of how long they have to do it.
2027/2028.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. So, all right, this gives Kennedy a chance. Then, so maybe this backfires. It gives Kennedy a chance to say this just makes it look prettier. It doesn't do anything that's good. We ought to do this sooner. Are they hoping he goes down that path? Are they hoping he goes down that path so that the big agriculture, the Democrat senators and others, can jump him that way and to say this guy will wreck our economy? I don't know. Hard to read why at this point, but it is big news. And it is related to me to how big Kennedy's legacy and what he's going to do will be. 855-839-1210. You get on board. So we do have Judge Patrick Dugan supported by the building trades, the powerhouse. I would argue if I'm running for something in Philadelphia, they're the number one group that I want for a lot of reasons. Money, ground troops, inside baseball stuff. My God, they just didn't even include the mayor in moving the facility back.
That was embarrassing.
By the way, on that, we now know that the NBA commissioner was involved, and I'm waiting, and I'll keep my eye on the ball. Did Harris get something promised at the federal level vis-a-vis RFK Stadium moving back to the city? Was there some sweetening that went on with this or some threat? I'm not sure. Remember, this guy's tied up with three franchises, which is ridiculous. But we'll see how that all plays out, okay? But the NBA commissioner was a driving force with this. All right, so Pam Bondi today is in front of the Grassley Commission, and I wouldn't say it's been heated, but they have settled in on going after her on the issue, so-called issue, that she is an election denier. All right, that's the big takeaway from today. And they've tried to say, how can we be sure you won't weaponize and all this? No, Pam Bondi is a spectacular choice. And I think the big takeaway, and we're going to talk with Scott Jennings about this at 2 o'clock from yesterday with Hegseth, is that this makes the road easier now for Trump appointees like Tulsi Gabbard. Almost every insider, almost everybody makes the point that they really went all out to try to stop Hegseth. Can they do that with Gabbard? Now, they may try, but then, they're expending political capital here. This didn't look good yesterday. And the biggest group that Democrats are concerned about, the reaction of independents across the board, anybody that really follows this stuff thinks that watching this yesterday, that independents would be okay with Pete Hegseth. Gabbard has the toughest road on this. There are Republicans, apparently, secretly hoping that something happens where it'll be obvious that she shouldn't be the head of the intelligence apparatus. The CIA guy, Ratcliffe, is having easy sailing today, as far as I can tell. He's very accomplished. He'll be great in that. Here is Marco Rubio. This is Cut 27. Here's Rubio talking about what will the top priority of Marco Rubio as Secretary of State be. Cut 27.
Ultimately, under President Trump, the top priority of the United States Department of State will be the United States. The direction he has given for the conduct of our foreign policy is clear. Every dollar we spend, every program we fund, every policy we pursue must be justified by the answer to one of three questions. Does it make America safer? Does it make America stronger? Or does it make America more prosperous?
All right, there you go.
You're going to building somewhere.
And I think that, yes, that is America
I was
first.
Over here mouthing, but they've been like four times now, but it's great how he worded
Rubio that. Was pretty funny, too. I've done an event with Rubio. And at that point, it was like a rock star of rock star. We actually had to come through the kitchen over in Feasterville at a Holiday Inn because of the swarm of people, over 600-700 people coming out on a random Tuesday. We had to change the date because he had a vote on something, and it was spectacular. He will be a really good Secretary of State. Now, I don't know if he's going to clash with Trump. That's what people are predicting. I think he's solidly on board with this. He called out the globalist. I think Marco Rubio will be fine. He was funny in that he said the protesters today are bilingual. They were yelling in Spanish, and they were yelling in English when he... there you go.
Awesome.
Back to order.
I get bilingual protests, which is, I think, is an inch too cool.
There you go. Nice play. He was good. He was very kind. These people, even Democrats, are going to vote for him. There's no doubt. Here is Tom Cotton, though, making the point from yesterday. This is Cut 22. And Tom Cotton was a great force yesterday in the middle of this with these banshee Democrats like Gillibrand of making the point that there are physical things that go on in combat that you just can't change. And not in a combat zone, but actually frontline combat. And making the point that women have to show they would do the same things as men, and many instances they can't. Here's what Cotton said.
How dare you ask those easy layup questions, Senator?
Well, Steve, what I think Senator Gillibrand is upset about is that I was distinguishing carefully in an area where people often get confused. When they talk about women in combat, that's too broad. Women have been in combat for many years as pilots or mechanics or what have you. We're talking specifically about women in ground combat jobs like the infantry, the artillery, special forces. Those have irreducible physical demands. There's nothing that Pete Hegseth or Kirsten Gillibrand or I can do to make an artillery shell weigh less than 100 pounds or a tank round weigh less than 50 pounds or a fully grown soldier with full combat load weigh less than usually 250, even 300 pounds. We have to have high and gender neutral standards to ensure that our troops are going to be safe and they're going to be fit to fight. But the Democrats would rather impose quotas or goals to make sure we have an arbitrary number of women or other ideals in our infantry, our artillery, our special forces, as opposed to focusing on fighting effectiveness. That's what I laid out. That's what Pete Hegseth will do as Secretary of Defense. I thought he did a great job. I know you're proud of him as a former colleague and as a friend. I commend him for a great job.
Yeah, that's what it was about. They try to muddy. It's not even they're trying. They just can't think, people like Gillibrand. It's not even politics. It's incompetency. We're not talking, as he said, about women in a combat zone. We're talking about the things. Can they do that? And the answer is probably not, almost likely very, very few numbers. Those that want to do that should be able to do it, but they have to do the same things. Why is that so difficult? Because it's about ideology. One other thing about men and women. So yesterday, the House passed. We're trying to get Riley Gaines back on. They passed a bill that would stop boys in women's sports or men in women's sports And the three, the Goldust twins, the three blondies of the suburbs here, all voted against it. Now, here's some of the things they're trying to use now. Mary Gay Scanlon said to the Delaware Valley Journal, well, this is discriminatory. What was passed yesterday? Two Democrats voted for it, both from Texas, I believe. She tried to say, well, this will ban kids from playing in the second and third grade pickup games or whatever, co-ed things and all. No, it's not, lady. Learn your sports. It has nothing to do with that. Do I think she knows that? I don't even think she knows that. I mean, it's ideology, but incompetency here. The Houlihan went much further. Remember last week on Lake and Riley, the constitutional scholar, Chrissy Houlihan? Well, she said she tried to make a states' rights argument. Shouldn't the states be doing this? Scanlon also said, you know what's going to be resulting here? You're going to have kids have to drop their drawers, my word, she didn't quite say that, and let people see their biological nature. Yeah, that's what she said we're going to be doing under this. Kids all over America. All right, let me see what you have there. Who's going to be doing that? That's what Mary Gay Scanlon worried about. Now, these are the people that tell us, why are we so interested in us? The question is, why are you so interested in this? If you would just stop this nonsense, then we'd move on to the economy and everything else. You're the ones that are doing this. But imagine Houlihan, states' rights now. Scanlon, little girls and boys are not going to be able to play at recess or something now based on this. It's not about that. We all know what this is about. And they just refuse. And look, we talked with Guy Shiraki and others about this. Why out in Chester, Delaware, Montgomery County, why do people continue to vote for them? Does the average person out there in the suburbs think that what they're saying isn't gibberish? Guy made the point, it's demeanor. All they want in the suburbs is some kind of demeanor, and everybody, we just all want to get along. Fine. Just play in your sport. Just play on your side, and everything is fine. All right, let me give you the side question. Yesterday, we spent some time talking about this, about Sully, the pilot. It was this day in history that landed on the Hudson. Now, it's not just the skill to land on the Hudson. I'm not sure how frozen or not frozen it was. I gave a quick look to the river coming in, and I did see some degree of icing, but still a lot of water. You know, I don't think he thought, oh, that looks frozen. I can do it. It still looked like water. The skill to do it is almost secondary. It's the boldness of saying, I'm not going to make it to the airport. I'm not going to kid myself. Well, that's got to be really tough in a nanosecond. I'm going to land on the Hudson. So we are looking for an all-time great feat. And when Henry, Dan, and I talked about this yesterday, I said, my number one's got to be, and you don't have to stick away from sports. Sports are okay, but what's the name of the film? Man on a Wire.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a
documentary. I'm not sure if it's a full hour. But the guy who walked between the Twin Towers because he was a rogue.
Felipe Petit.
Yeah, a French guy. And they had 100,000 people in the street. I've read somewhere he was up there for an hour. That can't possibly. I'm teetering, going back and forth. Get me a poll to do it here on YouTube. Just thinking about it. I couldn't look at this guy. Can you guys look up at him? You go, no, I don't want to see this.
Oh, I could look at him.
You could look at him?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, man. Dan, how about you?
Sorry, what was the question?
Can you look at this guy? Would you give a glance and say, I don't want to see anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
just
so.
Just the thought of it.
My palms would get sweaty, like, watching him. I'd get all clammy and be like, but I could watch.
Yeah.
And they had to rig it up, the wire between the buildings. So this wasn't like a sanctuary.
Like, I get physically nauseous when I see that kind of stuff.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I went to the top of the Empire State Building. I looked out for 10 seconds, pretended to row. Oh, that looks great. And then I just went to the back, let DJ and Luke and Roe look at it because it was too much, you know, and you're safe. You know, nothing can happen. You're fine. But no, I don't want to see that. And he was up there for an hour, 100,000 people in the streets. I guess they gave him a misdemeanor after a while. He's up in the clouds between the Twin Towers. That is stunning. And he did it. I don't know how, why that thing. It can't be. The wind. Just alone.
Yeah, no, and it's bouncing and...
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I don't know if there were any close calls. My stomach just thought of close call. What do you do there? You can't do that for an hour. We have to look that up. That's what I read, though, that he was up there that long. A minute is an eternity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so Henry, how about your feet?
Yeah, so I'll take two off the board. I will take the fact that we have found our place in the universe as humans, just floating on a rock. I think that, as a human feat, is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, we are able to look out into galaxies, super clusters of galaxies.
Well, what are you mocking there for, Dan? Yeah, we'll see when we come to yours. I'm going to join in mock right here.
And I have a fun
I'm going to take
too.
Humans everywhere as feet. What are you,
Helene Courtois, who helped, figure this stuff out. That there's a name for you. Is that satisfying?
What's the name?
Helene Courtois. Yeah,
sounds made up to me, Dan. You're on him here. Yes.
Anywho,
what'd she do?
Yeah,
she was part of the team that discovered the supercluster of galaxies that contained the Milky Way.
Let me
get my other one out.
Yeah, okay.
The other one that's more like would be the legendary Wade Boggs. This story was made famous by the urban legend was made famous by an It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where the gang tries to beat Boggs. And what they mean by that is that they try to drink a record 107 beers in a cross-country flight from Boston to Seattle, which Wade Boggs allegedly did back in the during his playing career.
Now, he traveled with a woman, not his wife, all the time, and he ate chicken every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Whole roasted chicken.
And he played third base, a power position, but he was such a good hitter that they let him get away with it.
Yeah, 3,000.
And he rode the horse with the cop when they won, so there you go. Dan, you can't top that. Milky Way and Wade Boggs.
Well, I can test. I can top it with one word, Dom, and I think you'll know exactly where I'm going with it. Rasputin.
Ooh.
Okay.
What a guy that can survive that many assassination attempts. What was he? Knife attacks, poison, shot, drowned, and still decided to live.
Rasputin.
Yeah, it's like a survival story there. But another one, Dom, comes from the Guinness Book of World Records. Because growing up, I had one of those books, and I always had to skip certain pages because one person in particular really scared me, Dom. And this is a guy that his name's Sridhar Chalal from India. And starting in 1952, he embarked on a journey after an incident with one of his teachers. His friends had accidentally broken the teacher's long fingernail, resulting in Sridhar and his friend receiving a beating from the teacher. During the beating, the teacher said, "Unless you grow long nails, you will never understand the kind of care required not to break them." Then for 66 years... Sridhar did not cut his nails, and they got all gross and twirly, and at one point, 358 inches long were one of his fingernails.
Oh.
Ended up cutting them off in 2018, Dom, but I'm submitting Sridhar Chalal as my feat of human ingenuity something with his enormous fingernails.
For people on YouTube, I don't bite my nails, but I must have to cut these. I would actually like to have a guy cut them every day, or a woman, preferably.
Every day?
I can't stand any kind of nail itch.
All right, Klobuchar.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, well, he's gripping a football with nails. That's not good.
Yeah, I need a little something. I don't know.
It's very minimal. That's about the standard.
Yeah, I see it.
Minimal. Minimalist. All right, you can get in here at 855-839-1210. Those are pretty good. I thought mine was, but a guy with the nails and the Milky Way. Hit us with that. We're going to talk at 1230 with the guy who's running against Larry Krasner. Maybe Krasner won't run now. We'll talk with Alan West, and we'll talk with the great Scott Jennings at 2 o'clock, 855-839-1210. All right, we need a bigger sounder here. We need a huger one. Dan just telling me and our buddy Steve Feldman with us that Israel and Hamas have reached a hostage and ceasefire deal. We're getting details as we speak. I know Steve will not be political about this, but I will be in a moment. Just so you know, there is a political part to this in addition to a what exactly is going to happen here part. People are joyous in Israel, but what are the details? Let's go to Steve Feldman, Executive Director of the Zionist Organization of America's Greater Philadelphia Chapter. On the surface, Steve, this is very good news. What do you think at this point?
Well, Dom, I'm sorry. Thank you very much for having me on to talk about this breaking news. I am not happy about this, and the Zionist Organization of America is not happy about this. Now, while we don't know really any of the details, there's been a lot of reports and a lot of leaks and a lot of rumors as to what is and is not in the deal. It is a dark day that that Hamas is not defeated, that not all of those it is holding captive are being released, and that there is a ceasefire imposed on Israel before Israel is allowed to destroy Hamas, which is not only has not only slaughtered and held captive Israelis, I will remind your audience, it has slaughtered and held captive Americans.
Sure. Now, Steve, I want to make one point here to go back, kind of bury the lead a little bit. Not all are to be released. Who's released and who's not?
It's unclear. There have been reports of anywhere from three people the first day to up to 30 people through the various steps in this process. There's been talk and rumors of there being phases, up to three phases. You know, some Israeli captives will be freed. And it's important to remind your audience, and I'm sure you've mentioned this, but just to hammer it home, the people that Hamas has been holding are innocent civilians. The people that Israel is being forced to release in exchange for those innocent civilians are cold-blooded murderers and terrorists.
Steve, hold on a second. Dan is seeing that it's 33 that will be released out of 98 hostages. 23
over time, not in one shot.
Right, 23 alive and 10 dead, which, again, gets to the... and I get it, people being happy on this, but I take your point that we never want to stop until every single one of them is killed and others are deterred by that. That's the only way to deal with people that can't be dealt with.
Look, it is a joyous day for those who will be freed and their families who've been tormented for more than 15 months. But it places every other, not only every other Israeli, but every decent person in the world at risk when murderers and terrorists and savages know that they're ultimately going to get what they want in exchange for taking people captive and murdering people. It sends a terrible message. I mean, we can only imagine circumstances in the United States when there are hostages taken at a bank robbery or some other situation here. Not negotiating with terrorists is a principle that unfortunately has been violated, and certainly not acceding to their demands, because it only encourages more of the same. And everybody knows that. And unfortunately, emotion has gotten involved here, and it's divided Israel. It's caused friction between the United States and Israel, two important allies in the war against terrorism, as it's called. And so it is a day of mixed feelings. But in principle, to keep Israel from being able to defeat not only Hamas, the Palestinian Authority is equally bad, has committed other savagery. We dare not forget. So overall, while it's joyous for those who will be freed and reunited with their families, it really is a dark day for civilization, I believe.
Yeah, and I get. And you know, the media, I'm watching Fox now, but some of the media are going to show the joy in Israel as if it's completely widespread. I'm sure, to your point, there are people, you know, feeling some degree of relief. But there are others in Israel who have supported Netanyahu, supported what he's done. And after the initial burst, they will realize what you and I are talking about. The mission is still to stop these people, and there's only one way to do that.
Look, we don't know what pressure was put on. I posted on Facebook in my own personal space there, wondering, you know, why this deal was being pressed now as opposed to 12:01 p.m. January 21st. What has made this come about versus then? We don't know. We may find out in the future, but there are more questions than answers right now. And it is my hope and COA's hope that Hamas has been taught such a painful lesson that they will be kept in check, at least from doing anything like this again. I remind your listeners that Palestinian Arabs in Gaza are still firing rockets into Israel at Israeli civilian populations. That is still happening. Accusations of Israel being ruthless and merciless clearly are not true. Almost 900 Israeli soldiers have been killed in action and thousands were wounded. because Israel has been trying to minimize casualties in the Gaza Strip. So a lot of what's not being reported is out there. But there certainly are mixed feelings and should be mixed feelings about this deal. And, of course, we don't know all the details yet.
Steve, thank you. And again, I hear a little bit in the voice, pineapple juice, if you have to cut it if you're doing a lot of interviews. I'm serious. Water that down. I told Tamla Edwards the other day, if you saw her this morning, back like new. It works every time.
But I'll give it a whirl. Thank you,
but
Dr.
Steve,
Dumb. And
yeah, but,
let me just give out our email address.
Yeah, one thing, office. Too. If anything comes up that you want to come back on after we catch our breath with this later in the show, you know you have carte blanche. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you. It's very, very kind of you. Thank you. And our email is the word office at zoaphilly.org. And our website is philly.zoa.org. And nationally, for those outside of our area, email is the word office, info at zoa.org. And the website is zoa.org. And I thank you. And I thank Dan for reaching out to me. Be well, you and your audience.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Feldman, we're going to roll right into this next interview because we have more high hopes here in Philadelphia. Judge Patrick Dugan, longstanding judge, person on the front line, got the endorsement yesterday and announced to run for DA. You know, in a lot of ways, the mayor affects us, but you know what Krasner has done or not done here, and he has the backing of the building trades. Let's go to Judge, well, former, but where's Jimmy Matthews? He's always going to be judge in the future. Got that, Jimmy? Just like President Trump, it's Judge Patrick Dugan here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Judge, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Dom, I appreciate you having me as a guest today. Thank you.
Well, you come at a fortuitous time with this news out of Israel, and I would say we hope to be liberated in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia area, by a new DA, and principally you're the leading contender. So, Judge, I asked you a question a little bit outside the box, then we'll get your background for listeners, et cetera, and how you came to this. Why in the world run against a guy who many forces in Philadelphia would have us believe is impossible to beat? Because he has money backing, and he, some people in Philadelphia are thrilled by his philosophy. So, Judge, why run at this point?
Dom, I quit my job that I absolutely love. I've had a front row seat in the criminal justice system for the last 17 years. And for the last 7 years, I've had that front row seat with Mr. Krasner as the DA. And I cannot sit back quietly anymore as a lifelong Philadelphian, as a paratrooper, as a man who's willing to step up when times are tough. Somebody has to take him on. And what everybody has to understand is I quit a job seriously that I love so much. I'm taking on a two-term incumbent, as you said, with a ton of money. But it's something that I had to do because somebody has to step up and, frankly, stop the madness that's been coming out of that office for too many years.
Absolutely. Little thing, and you said this, I just wanted to reinforce. You talked about, we all know about the homicide. We all know about the philosophy. We all know about the arrogance, et cetera, Judge. But you said the word that I could tell you with our listeners, we noticed, shoplifting, just allowing that to go on, giving carte blanche to that. Just, it's not even what it leads to. It is just the epitome of the madness that you talked about.
So, Dom, what's more Philadelphian, other than the birds, the Eagles, what's more Philadelphian than Wawa?
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep a Wawa open in parts of Philadelphia because of the policy that came out of the district attorney's office, and that's where it came out of. The district attorney's office decided to give everybody a freebie for $499 and below. And it was prevalent. The police department's own statistics show, after that policy, retail theft incidents that are reported, which I believe they're super underreported, went up over 132%. Our Wawas are closing, Rite Aid's talking about it, Walgreens. Look what happened in Macy's. I don't really care what the boards or the CEOs of these companies are saying about why they're closing, because they got to be politically correct. Yeah, there's other things going on, people doing shopping online, all that good stuff. But the bottom line is the retail thefts are through the roof, and these folks cannot sustain a business in Philadelphia because of the policies that come out of the DA's office. It's ludicrous. You're standing in line in a Wawa to get your big soft drink or your coffee and some tasty cake, and you got people coming in with backpacks, filling them up while you're trying to pay. It's crazy. It is ludicrous, and just that alone should be enough to say, we need to change. We need to change what's going on in that office. It makes no sense to me.
And, Patrick, read the other day, or a couple people told me, colleagues on a show that I do, that they read this, that not just you, but other people that are Democrats in good standing, more traditional than the craziness of Krasner and the progressives that think this is all fun and games. They've had it finally. The building trades, you know politics better than I. I've not run for office or been a judge like you, but where I'm sitting, the building trades are who I would want endorsing because they're the pulse, they're the hot thing in Philadelphia right now.
Absolutely. Having a building trade sends a huge message throughout the city of Philadelphia. Ryan Boyer is the head, head of the building trades, the head of the laborers, Wayne Miller of the sprinkler fitters, Billy Hamilton with the Teamsters. These folks are rock solid behind me. And I can't ask for a better endorsement than this group because they obviously bring the intangibles. They bring money. They bring their memberships. They bring people on the street. Mark Lynch from 98. These guys are all rock solid behind me. And they're rock solid behind me because they know what I've been doing as a judge, but they also know what the district attorney has not been doing, frankly, for the business that they're in terms of where they're building. They have jobs. People are breaking in their trucks. There's no prosecution. But many of their members live in our city. They come into the city to eat, and they don't feel safe. So it was actually an easy sell when I talked to them because, yes, the feeling that I'm seeing out on the street already in less than 30 days is that people are truly fed up with Mr. Krasner. And as you touched on it, your listeners have to understand, this is the Democratic primary. This is not the general election. In my opinion, the only way to beat Mr. Krasner is to take him on in the primary.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yes, I'm running as a Democrat against Mr. Krasner, a two-term incumbent. And again, I feel it has to be a mission that somebody has to take on, and I'm taking it on.
Yeah, Hamilton, we've had on the show, and even though we differ politically a little bit, what a guy. Really, really good guy. He's come on, and even when we differ, it's very good. You got a guy like that behind you. It tells it the time is up. So, Judge, you mentioned you were a paratrooper. Talk about that a little bit, the military background.
So, yeah, I wound up doing 23 years in the military between the reserves and active duty. I was an airborne infantryman in the 1980s. Did 6 years, South Korea, Panama, Fort Bragg, now Camp Liberty. And, when I got out of the military, I used my veterans benefits to go to law school, Rutgers Camden. After 9/11, Dom, again, I couldn't sit back and watch what happened. I went back into reserves. I went to Iraq in 2004 with a civil affairs unit. And then I had a law degree at the time, so I wound up getting a direct commission and becoming a JAG officer. I deployed to Afghanistan as well. So now I retired in 2016, but that's been my biggest honor to serve the United States of America. And that oath that I took has no end date. It's forever, and it's the same way I feel about the oath that I took as a judge. And I wish that our district attorney took his oath as serious as I take my oath.
Judge, how are you going to blunt people like the Inquirer, who I think are still in love with Krasner, saying, well, look at the homicide numbers. Those have gone down. What's the rebuttal to that?
Well, it's great to see the numbers go down, but frankly, one, it's too many. And if we look at the last 7 years, when you add up all the murders in the city of Philadelphia, it's over 2,900 in the last 7 years. Actual shootings where people were wounded is just shy of 10,000. So if we talked about 2,900 killed in action and 10,000 wounded in action, we'd be saying we got to pull out of that war. Well, that's what's been going on in the city. And I cannot give Mr. Krasner credit for this, because one of the policies that is effective is called the GVI, the Gun Violence Intervention. And they had to drag in kicking and screaming to really be a participant in that. Most people involved in that are not going to admit that. I can't give him any credit for the decline in homicides, because sociologists, criminologists will tell you there were 10 other factors. It's a pendulum. It's attrition. It's other reasons. And I don't see any of his policies that actually contributed to it.
No, I don't either. So, Judge, where do people find you at this point as we start to gear up?
Well, they can find me online. I'm at Judge Dugan for DA, judgedugan4da.com. So those folks who live in the suburbs, you might not be able to vote on May 20th. But you can certainly get on there, spread the word, call your friends in Philly, make a donation, whether it's $10 or the maximum limit of $3,700. But I need people to make sure on May 20th, put it in your calendar to come and vote if you want to make a change in this city. And this will be a big sea change to come out May 20th, help contribute, and let's make that change in the district attorney's office. And vote for Pat Dugan, D-U-G-A-N.
Hey, Judge, thank you. Thanks for doing what you're doing. Anytime, you're in the loop now. We'd love to have you on.
Thank you. Everybody have a good day, and go Birds.
All right, Judge Patrick Dugan. Yeah, can you imagine Krasner coming on saying, go Birds? What the hell? Come on. He's got the dumb Phillies hat on and saying it's safe to ride the subway because he's got 5,000.
Yeah, right. Trying to be a poser like he's actually a Philadelphia sports fan.
Larry, was that
you
a poser?
You know, Dugan's a true fan over here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd love to ask Krasner a few questions on that. All right. So, look, this guy is a real contender here. This is a real race this time. Very glad he came on today. The breaking news: Israel and Hamas reach a hostage and ceasefire deal. You heard Steve Feldman, though. And again, Biden tonight is going to wreck programming and be on at 8 o'clock to give us his legacy. And he's going to go down Broadway telling us it's because of Biden. No, it's not. It's not about that at all. It's much more about Trump and what Trump is threatening, Trump's policies, etc. But to Dan's point, the numbers he gave us, it's only 33 out of 98 hostages, 23 alive and 10 dead. They still have the lion's share of them. And this stops Israelis at this point from continuing what they must do to try to kill every single last one of them and to tell others, you fall in line with this, we're going to kill you too. That's all that it's about. I'm completely in lockstep. And when I went to Israel with listeners, I became more in lockstep, if that's possible. It's going to be interesting to see how Democrats spin this now. What kind? Well, I know exactly where they'll go. They'll be blaming Israel. That's where the National Democrat Party is gone. All right, so it's 855-839-1210. You can get in. Tell me what you think of Judge Dugan. As I said, I think this is a real battle that's going to be fought this time. And notice, I listen to listeners. Homicide, your eyes dull over. You have to get through what Krasner has wrought here. But the shoplifting, just blatantly letting people do this, and he did it. How many times do we have to be through it? It's his ideology. It's what he's about. It's what he's always been about. And that's what the mob around him wants. They love the experiment of this. It would help if Wawa just said in this race, you know what, we're leaving the city because of Krasner. That's all I have to say, one sentence. That would be helpful. 855-839-1210. You get in. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all you have to do is just push #1210. Don't forget, side question today. Hit us with that all-time feat, like the man on the wire, the Milky Way. I'm going through these in my mind, the long fingernail guy. Hit us with something that you think is a human feat Sully landing on the river, having the ability to say, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That's what you got to. I can't imagine that last 100 yards, couple hundred yards as he's headed toward the river, what the heck he's thinking. Oh, I got this. This is going to be easier than I thought.
How about a lawn chair Larry? That was suggested on Twitter to us, Dom.
Lawn chair Larry.
Yeah, Larry Walters often dreamed of flying, but wasn't able to become a pilot in the United States Air Force because of poor eyesight, therefore became a truck driver, thought of using weather balloons to fly at the age of 13 after seeing them hanging from the ceiling of a military surplus store, then hops into 42, well, straps himself into a chair with 42 helium-filled weather balloons and takes flight for 45-minute flight, Dom.
Oh, man. Should have taken a Barco lounger. All right, 855-839. That's a feat. No doubt. Hit us with that all-time human feat. All right. I have an important question to ask everyone. Are you planning to sell your home in 2025? The housing market is changing fast. It's not what it used to be. My friend Diane Cardano from Cardano Realtors wants to help you stay ahead of this shifting real estate market, increase the value of your home. Put this in your calendar. Diane is hosting a free, it's a great breakfast seminar. On Saturday morning, February 1st, at the Hilton Garden Inn in Fort Washington. She'll show you how to tackle today's uncertain market with rising inventory, fluctuating interest rates, low-cost ways to stage your home, lots of other insights. I'll be there with you. We haven't done this in a while. These are always great events. Great time to meet all of you and get Diane's advice. Plus, she'll be signing copies of her new book, Model Home Mindset. You don't want to wing it when selling your home. Diane Cardano does all the homework. Get your home sold for top dollar. Don't miss out now. RSVP, call 215-576-8666 or online, the same thing. It's free, 215-576-8666.com. I'll see you on February 1st. All right, Dom Giordano Show. Hit us with that all-time human feat. The Israel news with the hostage ceasefire did make its way into the Rubio questioning today. And Rubio said it's a point of emphasis. We're going to rescue Americans around the world. We're not going to give up, and you're going to pay a heavy price. Biden tonight is going to tell us it's all due to his diplomacy. That's what this has always been about. Yada, yada, yada. You heard Steve Feldman. And again, I don't remember anything quite like October 7th. Yeah, atrocities happen in war all the time, but the atrocities that these animals were involved in, they did it as their angle of attack. In other words, this is what their force was about, to rape, torture, do unimaginable things to men, women, and children and families. That's what they wanted to do. That's who they're about. And the National Democrat Party, large segments of it, and college campuses, they support this. Remember how many were putting on their Twitter or the hang gliders? Look at the hang gliders. Look at the genius of coming over and doing that. And even now, 33, we believe, 23 alive, 10 dead will be released out of the 98 hostages. They have to be exterminated, Hamas. That's the only thing that will stop it. And when others take their place, you do the same thing to them. And you hope that someday the message gets through, that's surely what's going to happen to you, and you dissuade enough. They were given Gaza, and look at what they did with it. Trump tweeting out peace through strength. He talks about, on Truth Social, how his people have been involved with this, pushing this, and a lot of it is a result of what he will do when in office and what he did in the Middle East before. The contrast is stark. Of course, the media will spin it toward Biden knowing how to get things done. Oh, my God. Let's go to Joe in Columbus, New Jersey. Joe is in on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Dom. Are we going to be able to collectively stomach those Biden pats on the back when the media hits with this?
Well, yeah, but I think that the evidence will start to come out and you'll see it more and more, particularly on this. I'm not sure. We're still trying to figure out why they did it today. Why did they wait?
Right.
You know, we don't know. Steve Feldman saying, what did the Biden administration threaten with potentially to Israel to accept this?
These ceasefires in the Middle East, they're only temporary. It's only a question of time. And they know Trump. They're in Trump's sights. So this is as temporary as any other ceasefire that comes out of that area.
Oh, yeah. Well, without a doubt. And again, it's only 33 out of the 98. So even on this, yeah, it's not getting him out. So, right. Joe, what's your human feat, Joe?
Well, I think it was Apollo 13. It was in the right stuff. Mm-hmm. That lunar module had a problem with its heat shields, and they did some kind of, you know, unexpected maneuvers to stop that thing from burning up on reentry.
Oh, yeah. Well, failure's not an option. How they reconfigured it.
And they kept their cool.
Yeah, I don't know if Ed Harris won the award as Best Supporting Actor. I think he might have for that. But the role he played, I want to believe, once upon a time, that's what NASA was about. Now, today, I don't have much faith in them. But back then, yeah.
Well, yeah. They were crafted in a whole different way back then, Dom.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good one, Joe. Yeah, how they got them back. And if you haven't seen the film, Tom Hanks recalling how he would get home to an aircraft carrier. It's very, very moving. Kevin Bacon, very good. Hey, Kevin, your boy might be going down, though. You coming to Philadelphia to pitch for him? Come on the show. We'll talk about how you love Larry Krasner, the excitement, the change. All right, coming up, what a day to have Colonel Alan West on. We'll get his sense. Here's a couple of details from Trey Yingst, the great guy who's in the war zone for Fox.
Apparently he's talking with firsthand sources that were in the negotiations.
Let's hear what he had to say, Dan.
I want to just read to you what this source just sent. Quote, Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal reached following the Qataris' meeting with Hamas negotiators for a final push following last-minute additions by the group. There were some reports that indicated Hamas officials were trying to push the Israelis to change their position about a key corridor that sits along the Gaza-Egypt border called the Philadelphia Corridor. Now, I am told that the Qatari prime minister himself was in the negotiating room and pushed these Hamas officials to accept the agreement on the table. What we are looking at here that will be signed tonight, a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas that will implement a pause in fighting between the two sides for 42 days. This is a six-week agreement that will ultimately see 33 hostages released from Hamas captivity in Gaza. We are told by a number of sources some of those hostages were killed and their bodies will be returned to Israel, but at least 23 of them are believed to be alive.
All right. Thank you, Dan, for that. Coming up, the great Colonel Alan B. West will break down the Hegseth testimony, what it's like to be in command, and what the colonel thinks about women in combat, direct combat. That's the line I'll use. All that and your calls on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.